Okay, basically, we'll talk a little bit about the parsha. Parsha's kis chayisar is always used as the parsha to talk about shidduchim. In all the yeshivas, it was always the week that they talk about dating. Rav Pam apparently used to give special dating vadin this week and next week. A big crowd, many people used to come hear him. But one of the takeaways, I think, from the parsha is something we spoke about when we learned Kiddushin. We learned Kiddushin, and we know that Kicha, kicha, mistayef, and the place you learn the entire principle of marriage, every Jewish wedding that takes place where the man gives her a ring is learned from Ephron. So obviously, every Sheva Brachas you ever go to, they ask the famous question, why would the Torah pick Ephron to be the example of where to learn HaKadusha Kesef from? So I told my Talmidim this week in Yeshiva, I said, because many people come into dating, like Avraham Avinu came into buying a field. He walked in, he said, Gev, it's going to go smooth. I'm a Gev, either you're going to give it to me the easy way, it's going to be chick-chock. We'll be done in 3 minutes. Many guys come into dating and think, okay, this is going to be quick. I'm such a great guy. I'm so fantastic. I'm so amazing. I'm going to find the girl right away. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. And it's not so simple. Marriage is not as easy as it looks. Not that your wife is like Ephron, but the point is, marriage is not as simple as it looks on the outside.
Your father was.
Right. It's not as simple as it looks. Avraham Avinu was a little taken aback how difficult it was, but that's perhaps part of the idea of marriage. But Reb Dessler explained that the whole idea of Ephron was really an assignment for Avraham Avinu. Rabbi Nigena writes in Ovis that this was the last of his tests, was dealing with Ephron. What was the big assignment? So Dessler writes, Reb Dessler's daughter-in-law was just Nifteris, I saw, right? Reb Dessler's son's wife, she was 100. She was just Nifteris, I think, the other day. So Reb Dessler writes, an amazing idea, Reb Dessler writes that the assignment was, would Avraham Avinu explode on Ephron? You know, Avraham Avinu was having a bad day. He just lost his wife. Just lost his partner in education, and now he's dealing with an Ephron. So most of us, when we're having a bad day and we come across a difficult person, we let them have it. We tell them where they can go. We let them know what we think of them. Avraham Avinu was a real man. He never gave Ephron any attitude. He never yelled. He never screamed. So therefore, says Reb Dessler, the Nisayon was, would he act up with Ephron? So I wanted to say, maybe that's the pshat why we learn Kiddushin from Ephron. Very often, person, you know, in a relationship, specifically, the person you end up exploding sometimes on is at your wife or your spouse, vice versa. Either because they're just there, because when you come at the end of a rough day and your boss was a real jerk, and everyone you dealt with is difficult, so who's there to hear about it? So it's your wife. Or goofy, you're mad at your spouse, so you let it out on them also. Maybe the Torah is teaching us the kicha kicha mr. Ephron is that we have to not do that. We can't allow them to be our punching bag, lahavdil, obviously not physically, that we let everything out on them and we scream and yell at them and we, you know, mistreat them. They say Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach and his levaya for his wife. They asked him if you want to ask the mechila from your wife. He said, I don't need to ask a mechila. I never did anything to her that would cause me to ask a mechila. It's an amazing thing to say. And none of us can say that, even lying say it. Right? There's one thing to say, we'll lie it and we'll mean it, it'll be good for the... We couldn't even get up in the stage and lie to such a statement. That we never did anything to our spouse that would cause us to ask mechila. But Reb Shlomo Zalman said that as his wife's levaya. He feels no need to ask mechila because he never did anything his entire life that would cause him to have to ask mechila. Now, to say that we're going to live a life like that is just not happening. It's a sheifa. It's a, you know, it's a dream. It's something to look, aspire to be like that. That, you know, we can say one day that, you know, we tried that hard. But it's really the idea of just thinking about someone else. The Mepharshim points out the whole idea of kichim mechta Ephron is strange, right? Why was Avraham Avinu such a pushover? Avraham Avinu comes to Ephron, he starts off Gevir Toshav, all big tough. Then Ephron drops him a huge number, 400, and he just takes it. Which Jew in this world doesn't haggle down a price? No, it's a pellet to me. Every tuition board in the world knows, right? You give your parent a tuition, they haggle down. You go to the store, everything gets, what is it? Avraham Avinu just sits there, 400, no problem, I'll take it. That was an exorbitant price, $400. It was way, way, way more. You think the real estate's crazy now? That was ridiculous real estate pricing. Avraham Avinu just sits there like a lemela, very passive. So Mepharshim explained, Avraham Avinu's whole idea was that this wasn't about him. He just wanted to get the most respectable place for Sarah to be buried. It was all about Sarah. His whole mindset was not about himself. It wasn't about him saving a dollar or about him making a good deal. It was about what he could do for Sarah. They say of an amazing story with Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, that Reb Yaakov was once getting a ride to a wedding with him and his wife. And he gets into, the driver pulls up, the person driving them, and Reb Yaakov goes in the back seat. So the guy says to him, why are you going in the back seat? He says, because my wife is coming with me to the wedding, and I want to make sure the back seat's comfortable for her. So I'm going to go in the back seat first to try it out, see if it's comfortable, and then she can go in the back seat with us when we go to the wedding. Okay? That's a real madrega of thinking about someone else. You know, again, sheifas that we can aspire to be from these gedolim, at least to think, you know, about our spouse in such a way to be that thoughtful and that considerate is definitely something that comes out of this week's parsha. Okay, everybody, so in any case, we got to get moving over here in the sugya We got to get moving. We got to get moving. We got to finish up this Tosfos and start the next Gemara. So let's just remind ourselves where we left off last week. We left off last week. Tosfos was mechadish to us that you don't say kimleib derab mine on anything that's a kapara. Whenever the payment is a kapara based payment, we don't say the din of kimleib derab mine. We spoke about why it is that way, but that's the facts that Tosfos told us. Now Tosfos has a job to do. He has to prove to us that the chomish of truma is a knas. Doesn't say that in the Chumash, doesn't say in the Torah that that's what it is. So Taisus has to prove it to us. So Taisus writes, V'yeshloim, let's see one more time. V'yeshloim is like Taisus, the Shani, Shoigi, the Truma. Again, when a person eats Truma, B'shoigi, the reason why there's no Kimleim, the Rabbinay is Mishum, the Tashlum, the Dei Kapara. Because that payment is a Kapara payment. V'loim, M'moin, that's not Mominus. And Taisus was Mechadish to us that you don't say Kimleim, the Rabbinay when the payment is Kaifin, when the payment is a Kapara. So we spoke last week about, and we'll talk about this again this week, are all Kaparas equal? That's something that really we saw last week from Reb Ruvain, Reb Baruch Ber son-in-law. We'll see it again today, maybe. That not all kaparas are the same. Meaning something could be called a kapara, but it's not really in its etzem root a kapara. It might be through this you'll obtain a kapara, but in its root it's really a chi of mammonis that gives you a kapara. So Taisus over here seems to be saying that Tashlumei Truma itself is a kapara. What Taisus is right? I mean, Mesechus Trumas. Taisus quotes the Mishnah in Trumas. Demrotz a kohen limchol. If a kohen wants to be moichol the payment, ein yochol limchol. The kohen cannot say to the guy who accidentally ate his Truma, I'm sorry, you know, it's okay, I let it slide, I understand, it was a mistake, mistakes happen, you don't have the extra chaymish to pay, you're tight on money. No, it's fine. I'll let it slide. So Taisus, no, Mishnah says you can't do that. Why? Why can't the Kohen do it? Zok Taisus, they'll have a moment. El Kapar must be Zok Taisus, because it's not the Kohen's money. It's not up to the Kohen to decide, because the money is not a monetary obligation, but rather it's a Kapar obligation.
Is it possible that because the Kapara is to the Kahuna, but not to the specific Kohen?
We're going to have to talk about those.
Because yeah. You could give it to another Kohen.
That's right. We're going to have to see who gets the payment, really. Who's it owed to, so to say. Yeah, we're going to come back to that hopefully a little later today as well. Says Taisus, Vafilu Oichat Trumas Atzma. Even if he eats his own Truma. What does it mean that Yisrael has his own Truma? So we said he got it from his grandmother. His grandmother was a Bas Kohen. And she yarshin to him truma. So even if it's his own truma, the loy gazal midi, he didn't steal anything. Mishalim kapar la'atma, he still has to pay the kapar to himself. Whatever that means, we'll have to clarify. The chayim mishle kain, and the chayim still goes to a kain. Well, the chayim zok toysev is loy shach klimle, but the rabbi meaning that's why there's no kimle the poitrim mikapara. Avol karen the chayim mishle hektish. When it comes to hektish, ainu mishum kapara el mishalim moment shagazal hektish. Fine. So we left off last week, we were talking about why doesn't Mechila work on the Kohen? Why can't the Kohen be Meichel the Chaymish? So Tosfos said, the reason why the Kohen can't be Meichel the Chaymish is because it's a Kapara, and on a Kapara you can't be Meichel. If you look up that Mishnah in Trumas, the Rash, the commentary on the side of the Mishnayis in Trumas, he says a different shot. He says no. He says, number two, he says, Hu shechayiv l'shalim dover haroyu liyas kodesh. Says the halacha is, when you pay back the Chaymish, you have to give something which could become Kaddish, which means you have to give Mechulin that he will in turn into Truma. And let's say, for example, the Mishnah says in Trumas over there, let's say a guy says to himself, I have a whole stack of Truma. My mother, my grandmother, my grandfather was a Kain. My mother died. I get all this Truma sitting over here.
He's a non-Kain.
But he owns Truma. So then he eats Truma B'shoigi. So now he says to himself, okay, now I got to pay the Chaymish. So he said, instead of taking Chulin money out of my pocket and giving that, I'll give this Truma. Straight to the Kohen. So the Mishnah says you can't do that. You have to give something dover haroyal is kodesh, not something which already is kodesh, something which could become kodesh, which means you have to take chulin and turn it into hektish by giving it to the Kohen. That's what the Mishnah says. So says the Rash. He says ve'ein yochel lift all b'dam. You can't give money. Ein adover tuli b'baylum. It's a raya that it's not tuli in baylum. Aval ein lo imam mishum dehavi kapara. Avoin ki karbon. But says the Rash, don't try to tell me like Taisvis that the reason why the Kohen can't be moichelit is because it's a kapar. It's not true. Given the mechayiv choymish that regezel chaveh v'nishba v'hoide the moisiv choymish v'tanya b'agezel kama the yochel limcho. So this was the kash we left off of last week. The Rash Mishnais points out there's a Mishnah Baba Kama. But he says over here hagoizel kama. What's hagoizel kama? Because if you learn Baba Kama, the last two parak can both start off with hagoizel. The ninth parak is hagoizel eitzim, and the tenth parak is hagoizel humachel. So when the Rishonim want you don't know which Hagoyzel they're referring to, they'll tell you Hagoyzel Kama or Hagoyzel Basra. So this Gemara is in the ninth parak, Hagoyzel Eitzim. So the Mishnah says in Hagoyzel Eitzim that if a person steals and he swears falsely and he denies that he has it, so when they find that he has it, he has to pay Keren V'Chaymish. So Taisvis says the Rash, that Chaymish is a Kapara. That's a Kapara. What is a Kapara? Because the guy lied. He swore falsely. He needs a Kapara. Yet the Mishnah says in Baba Kama that if the Nignav, the person who was stole from, can be moichel the chaimish. So says the Rash, what do you see from over here? You see that your rule is not true. You, Taisus, tried to tell me that anything that's a kapara is never able to be meichel, but it's not true. You see, Klar, that the Mishnah in Baba Kama says that the payment for lying under oath is a kapara, and still it could be meichel. So therefore, says the Rash, Taisus is 100% wrong. I say, how do you learn the Mishnah in Trumas? The Mishnah in Trumas still says that the kain can be meichel. So Bishlam, according to Taisus, it was because it was a kapara, and a kapara is not eligible for mechila. But says the Rash, but that you say is not true, because of the Gemara in Baba Kama. So now, says the Rash, I'll come up with a new pshat. The reason why the kohen can't be meichel is not because it's a kapar, but it's because it needs to be dover haroi elias kodesh, which we'll explain in a minute.
Which kohen was his truma? He ate his truma.
Well, no, there's two cases. There could be a case where he ate his own truma, and there could be a case where he ate
his own truma. Who is the kohen bishop meichel? He didn't take it from any kohen.
Oh, so we'll get to them in a second. What do you do? How do you exactly make the payments? We'll come back to that hopefully in a few minutes.
But
again, he owned it as an owner, but he still has no right to eat it.
I understand, but there's nobody to mock.
Oh, good. So we're gonna get to that. We're gonna try to explain that hopefully in a few minutes. But so far we have a machloekis over here between the Rash and Taisvis. Can a person be meichel kapar? Taisvis thinks he can't be meichel kapar. The Rash says you could be meichel kapar. So now Rebbe Chanan. Number three, this is where we left off a little bit last week. So Bechanan comes in and wants to say, what's the point of the machloikis between these two Rishonim? What's the nekudas ha-machloikis, right? Whenever you have machloikis Rishonim, our job is always to get down to the nekudas ha-machloikis. What's the pinpoint argument between Taisvis and the Rash? Taisvis says, he can't be meichel ha-kapara. And the Rash says, what are you talking about? I have a Mishnah in Baba Kama that said you could be meichel ha-kapar. So if you remember last week, we already pointed out how Rabbi Chanan didn't like this whole Rash, because Rabbi Chanan pointed out that the Gemara says in Baba Kama that payment is really a Mamayna. The when you swear falsely, and you steal a chavit from Reuven, and then Reuven takes you to Beis Din, and you swear, I never touched your thing, I'm innocent as innocent can be, and we find that you'd be a liar. So the Mishnah says, Chumash says, that you have to pay a Chumash. So the Mishnah says over there that the Nignav can be Meichel. So the Rash is all up in arms. What are you talking about? I thought it's a Kapara. So Rabbi Chanan says, if you turn to Daf Kovdal in Baba Kama, turn one more blot, the Gemara says over there that it is Mamayna, it's not Kapara. So Rabbi Chanan doesn't understand the whole Rash from the get-go. But says Rabbi Chanan, let's play along a little bit. Let's assume that payment is Taka Kapara. So then the Rash has a kasha. His kasha is, Taisvis told me, that anything that's a kapara is not eligible for mechila. So Rabbi Chanan wants to say, yeah?
By the way, is there any difference between kapara and knas?
Again, possibly. It's definitely. The question just is every knas a kapara?
Right.
And are kaparas knasas? The answer is maybe, maybe not. Like everything else.
Because wouldn't that be telling you whether you could be Michael or not? Because you can't be Michael Knas.
Wait, one second. We're not discussing whether or not it's a Knas. We're discussing whether or not it's a Kapara.
Right, but I'm saying... But
it's definitely a Knas. It's definitely a Knas. I don't think anyone disagrees with a Knas.
So I don't understand the halacha. So how could you ever be Michael? This guy has to pay it. You know, it's even though he's paying it to you, but at the end of the day...
So that's the question. That's what the Rash is pointing out. He's showing from a Mishnah Baba Kama that that's not true. You see that something like a Chaimish, even though it gives you a Kapara, you're still able to be Michael. That's his kasha. That's Kufa's kasha on Taisus.
Is he doing the Isser to you, or is he doing it to Hashem? Or is he doing it to both? So how could you be Michael? What's to Hashem?
That's what it says in the Mishnah. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says in Baba Kama. The Mishnah says in Baba Kama that if a guy swears, and he swears falsely, the Mishnah says the Nignav can be Michael. That's what the Mishnah says.
But can you take a case of Hekdish and a case of,
again, the assumption is that once we... But Tais is brought in the picture by saying anything that's a kapara. So now, what's going to be the classical answer out of this kasha, which the Rash, which Rabbi Chanan is going to get to in a second, is different types of kapara. Like we said, we've been saying the whole sugya. Not all kaparas are created equally. When the Gemara makes a phrase, something is a kapara, kufra kapara, right? Chaimish kapara. You have to break it down and figure out, is it really be a soide a kapara? Meaning the whole mominous makeup was merely a kapara, or through the mominous a person obtains a kapara. Which one?
And these are all shogeg cases.
Not the lying. Right. By truma, it happens to be a case of shogeg. But it's just, you're going to have to break it down and say they're not all cases of kapara are the same, which is what Rabbi Chanan is really going to do for us in a few minutes. But Rabbi Chanan first, he has two shtickles of it. Today is going to be a shtickle of Baranovich day, as you'll see. We quote from some of the Magidi Shurim that were in Baranovich Yeshiva, Rabbi Chanan and the other one, but we'll get to in a second. So Rabbi Chanan has a couple shtickles over here, one in Baba Basra and one in Psach. So first, Rabbi Chanan points out in number three, he says, Le'inyani Mahani Mechilas Kapara. Rabbi Chanan Klai Zachakiru. What's the nekudas amachloikas between Taisvus and the Rash? Again, Taisvus holds you can't be Meichel Kapar. The Rash says you could be Meichel Kapar. What are they arguing about? What's the nekudas amachloikas? So Rabbi Chanan explains. He says, Le'inyani mahani mechilos bekapara kirein bekoifer, le'man da'omad de'hu kapara. Da'as Taisvus babakam mem gimud loy mahani. Taisvus sheet and babakam is you can't be Meichel Kaifer, because Kaifer is a kapara. Va'atam, Zokta Rabbi Chanan de mechilo misalek is chos ha'tever. We saw this last week. Rabbi Chanan points out that what's the lomnus of mechila? Mechila means that I have no right to claim. I give up my rights to claim what is supposed to come to me. Right? You're supposed to pay me. I have rights to claim. I have what's called a zchus tviya. Never start too young, Gavaldik, okay? You have a zchus tviya. You have a zchus to be tveya the money. And when I'm moichelit, I give up my rights to come collect. That's exactly what I'm umemela potter nitzvah. So again, why are you potter? Because what the whole obligation is, I have a right to come get money from you. If I take away my right to get money from you, so then there's no obligation. Because your whole obligation is a byproduct of what? My having rights to come get money from you. Since I can come collect from you, so you have to pay me. The moment I can't come collect, so the chiyuv falls away. Okay? So Zokta Bochanon, Avo bekaparu hula hepech. When you talk about a kapara, it's the backwards logic. The way it works by kapara is I need to give you so I can get a kapara. Not that you need to come to me, I need to go to you. So therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, even if the teveya removes his rights to come collect, fine. So that we all agree with, right? So Rabbi Chanan has explained the reason why mechila doesn't work is because mechila is the pshat that you can't come to me, but kapara means I come to you, right? Mechila is the pshat that again we're not taking away the sibas achiv. We're taking away mechila means you take away your right to come collect. I'm very happy you're not going to come collect, but I owe you the money. Irrelevant to you coming and collecting. I gotta clear up my life by paying you. Not that you're coming to me.
So if the guy really is mad at you and he doesn't want to give you, he doesn't want to let you have the kapara.
So technically,
just to take right, it, what do you do?
Right, right. So you'd be an honest. You did your best. You'd be stuck.
You can't do that, right?
No, but what I'm saying, the way a normal chayv works is that you owe me money. Because you owe me money, you have the right to come collect the money. So if you decide you don't want to come collect, so then there's nothing left. That's only if you are acting on your right to become teveh. But by a kapara, it's not the pshat that you're coming to me. It's I'm coming to you. I need the kapara. I only get kapara by giving you money. So the fact that you say, I don't want your money, whatever it is, you don't want my money, but I need to give you my money.
I'm actually hurting you when I...
Right, right. I need to give you my money to obtain a kapara. So says Rabbi Chanan, that's Pashup Shah and why Mechila doesn't work by kapara. Fine. So says Dr. Rabbi Chanan, here's the best part. So he says...
But he's only explaining
Taisvus.
Right, so
he's explaining Taisvus. Right? This is why Taisvus holds you can't do Mechilas Kapar. Fine. I think we all agree with this. I think this is we're all comfortable with this idea that what? That the reason why you can't be Meichel Kapar is because a Kapar is not about you, it's about me. Right? We're very self-centered people.
You have to stop someone from being
Meichel. Not Chazal didn't allow it. Chazal didn't accept it. That's what it means.
But he's still Meichel.
That means even though you get up and say the words, you're Meichel, Chazal still wanted you to make the payments.
Isn't it really about both? One
well, obviously, right. Right, right. But the point over here is you have to look at what's the starting point. What's the trigger? Is the starting point I owe you, or the starting point is I need, you have a right to me, or I owe you? So if you look at Kapara, Kapara is the bad guy starts off the story. I need to get Kapara by giving you money. So the fact that you tell me you don't want the money. Now, again, you can also argue and say, well, if the person is Meichel, so maybe that's goof a part of the Kapara also. Right. Maybe the whole Kapara is. What's that? I didn't want to say that for a reason. Good. So you could argue that if you could argue that the whole kapara is maybe totally in the wants of the teveya. Right. Maybe that's goofy what brings about the kapara. So Rabbi Chanan goes a shtickle different route. Rabbi Chanan says
that wouldn't work by cloning, obviously.
Well, again, it could be the Torah said that you need to get a kapara. Your kapara is dependent upon the will and the want of the person claiming it. If he claims he doesn't want it, so then you don't need it. That's goofy your kapara. Why? So that's Dr. Rabbi Chanan. This is the part I want to get to. Says Rabbi Chanan. He says, "Omnam inema de mechila ki kabbalah." But Zokta B'chanan, one second. There's another way of looking at mechila. There's a famous Rashi in Gittin. We spoke about this many times. That mechila is kilu is kabalti. What does that mean in English? Okay, we'll try English because I don't really know how to say it, even in English. It means that as if I got it. When you're moichel me, what's the pshat? The pshat is that I say to you as if I got it.
I paid you, you pay me back.
Right? It's like I got it already. right? We talked about this in many inyanim, where this comes up, this idea of mechila kilos kabalti. By Yishar HaChmonis, it comes up like that, whether or not it makes sense to say mechila on it, it's kilo, I got it. I did get it. It looks like I don't have it, but, you know, that big basket that you brought to my house that's full of things that no one in my house eats, and you give it to me, it's kilo, I got it. Because I'm meichut, means I don't need it, but it's as if you gave it to me. So says Rabbi Chanan, one second, if that's true, so then you should be able to say that by kapara also. Mm-hmm. So Tana Rabbi Chanan, Sharei Ilu Shilam Laha Koifer, Hoya Yochel Ha'azaloi. Says Dr. Rabbi Chanan, let's say a guy wants to be Moichel. So what do? You give him the money, and then he gives it right back to you. Good, that's his business. I did my job. My job was to give the money. So says Dr. Rabbi Chanan, maybe that's Pshat in the Rash.
Is that what the kapara stands for, the Sina, or the kapara comes with the loss of the money?
Okay, good, we can debate, not clear. So Zokta Bachonan, the Efshur Shizeo Time Shall Rash Trumas Perek Zayin, the Gambi Kapor Reshaich Mechila. So Zokta Bachonan, maybe now we can explain the machloikas between the Rash and Taisibis. The machloikas between Rash and Taisibis is totally in what's the lumnus of Mechila. Is the Mechila the Pshat that you're just giving up your rights to be Teveya? Or Mechila's Kiluus Kabalti? And therefore, says Bachonan, if Mechila's Kiluus Kabalti, why don't you say that by a Kapor also? As if you got the money, and that's why I got the Kapor. So therefore, Rabbi Chana wants to say that the machloikis we showing him in our sugya about whether or not you have mechila by kapara is totally in the lumnus of mechila. Now,
who says the mechila is totally on the recipient? It's totally on the giver. The mechila wouldn't even work. How do you
get mechila? You're asking a different question. You're debating the notion whether or not I can be mechila. Right. Okay, good. Yeah. Now, the Rash was assuming you could be mechila. He was just saying that because something is a kapara is not a raya, you can't be mechila. You're asking the logistics. That's a fair point. Now, let's take one more step over here in the Rash. Now, the Rash said that the reason why the Kohen can't be Meichel the Truma was because you need to give him Dover HaRoyu Lias Kodesh. You have to give him something which he could turn into a Chulin. Right? So what Rabbi Chanan said, it should be Kilu Hiskabalti. Now, that's not the same reason that the Rash writes, right? According to Rabbi Chanan, I can be Meichel Kapara because Kapara is Kilu Hiskabalti. So then why can't the Kohen and Arso give him Meichel the Truma? Mishnah says the Kohen can't be Meichel the Chaymish. Why not? So Dr. Rabbi Chanan, Mechilas Kilos Kabalti. So
Kohen's muffling it. It was on my Truma.
Right, but I owe the payment to a Kohen. To some Kohen, right?
I think the answer to that question is that you now have to pay the Chaymish. You go to some Kohen.
We'll get to it. We're going
to
talk about it.
You need to go to some
We'll learn about it in a second. Right. Hold off for a second.
And then he says,
yes.
I'm Meichel.
Yes. That's right. Because you owe it to Shevet Kohen.
Right.
Right. You owe it to somebody. So he looks over. Look over here, number four in the Sefer HaTerah Shmuel. He writes like this. He says, "V'nira b'kavanas Rash." What's pshat in the Rash? The Rash says, "Why can't the claim be meichelit? Because you can't tell me because mechila doesn't work because mechilas kilos kabalti. So if it's kilos kabalti, it's like I gave it to a coin. So why doesn't it work? So the Rash says because you need to give him dover haroyu lias kodesh. So he explains over here, "V'nira b'kavanas Rash this relay the mezed the chazina the boy the shalom dover haroyu lias kodesh." What do those words mean? That you have to give the coin something which you could turn into truma. Chazina the itkar adin tashlumin hu lahashlim hachefta the truma. What does the Torah want to make you pay the chumash? It's not because the Torah says you took away money. The Torah wants to you replace what you had. That's what the Torah wants, to replace what you had. The Torah says, you ate truma, give us back truma. Replace that you took away.
Plus.
With an additional, right. With an additional, you know, fine, whatever. I said, why do I have to give it to that specific kohen? I can give it to any kohen I want. So he says, you have to give it to the person who owned the truma. That's part of the rights of being a kohen. You took away my truma, you have to replace my truma. Yeah, we'll come back to it. Come back. I'm not forgetting that question. The kivan to have it tashlum in the truma didei. Avalein ikur choyvase ba tashlum in the shalom lakayim emayin. This is the point. According to the Rash, the payment of the chaymish is not a financial obligation that I have to shevet kohuna. It's really the job of replacing that you took out of circulation. You took truma out of the world, bring back truma into the world. Replace that.
You're not going to get part of that. It's just fairness.
No, but if that's true, then you can't be meichel that. Because what is mechila? Ki'ilu is kabalti. Lomdisha ki'ilu. But at the end of the day, you didn't replace it.
But it's not replaced.
But that's not the carrot.
No, that's for everything. The whole package. The Torah says, I want you to replace the truma with more, or whatever, with additional truma. I want you to bring more truma into the world.
So
by telling me ki'ilu doesn't help me. Right. Ki'ilu doesn't replace things. Mm-hmm. Right? Ask anyone who's missing something in the world and tell them, it's ki'ilu, you have it. Yeah, well, it's not. I don't have it.
But you can say the same story by kapara. Ki'ilu doesn't achieve kapara.
No, but that's... No.
You didn't do anything.
No, but if the kapara is like a regular mamnes de gechiv, an exchange between two people, so if you understand in the world of mamnes, mechila, then you can understand. But if you hear the rotsim...
What's the point of calling it a kapara? Then it's a regular mamnes chiv.
Yeah, so
unique about kapara. Then?
Maybe nothing. Maybe maybe through the mumnis you obtain a kapara.
That's the difference between the cases.
That could be the teretz, right? As we said.
But so my regular person, my regular kofer, then you could still. It's only by a kohen.
But he's truma saying that it's a din, right? It's a din by truma, right? It's a din of chaimish of truma, right? It's a din of chaimish of truma.
So what you're saying is that when the Torah said if you accidentally eat truma that you weren't supposed to eat, so you remove a pound of truma from the world, you have an obligation to restore a pound of truma to the world.
Plus,
but
more.
The obligation to restore is not precisely what you took; it's that plus something
correct
else.
But it's not viewed as a financial obligation. It's more of a, what we'll call a chefza type of obligation. It's replacing that you take away from the world.
Then you have the problem, which gets solved, by having to get this truma to a kohen.
Right, exactly. So he writes, then he writes on the bottom of it, he says, he quotes from the Reb Chaim, he tells, where's Michael? That tells over there, yeah?
What?
Yeah. I woke you up, yeah. Yeah.
I can't think more than that. Now, the question is, so the replacement of the truma, right? So understand when you get into that and more, okay, that extra, how's that?
I guess somehow the Torah wants you to replace that plus. It's replacement plus. I understand. Meaning it's better than just looking at it as a financial obligation. It's more the Torah wants this chefza to be replaced. The Torah wants this amount, volume,
so why
to be replaced.
To it?
Well, that was part of the Torah, I guess. Part of the Torah was replace this and some more. But it's not about the Torah saying you stole money from Shevet Kuhn. The Torah says, I want this object back. If the Torah wants the object back, so then that's why you can't give back more truma. You got to give back chulin and then turn it into truma. And then the Torah says you can't do mechila because mechila doesn't work over here. Mechila doesn't bring back that is not here. So he quotes over here from Reb Chaim.
So how does it work in the case where the guy owned what was already truma? In other words...
Yeah. Right? That case?
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Hold up. We're going to come back to that.
Good.
That's right. We're going to come back to that. Hold off. That's source 6. We're going to get to that.
He ate it. It's gone.
So now he replaces. Right. So the question is, how are we replacing it?
Replacing it with the same object that, in other words, when you replace it in a normal case, you have a pound of truma. That's all you have. And you eat it.
So now you give a pound and a fifth.
You have to get a pound of non-truma.
Right.
Turn it into, right? So it wasn't truma before. Now it is truma. So that's what you're replacing it. Plus another fifth that wasn't truma.
Correct.
Now it is truma.
Correct.
Got it. But what if you already had truma?
You're not allowed to use that. You can't use that, the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says
you can't go into your stash.
That's the Mishnah says. That's right. That's what the Mishnah says. Because that's not... That's the Mishnah in Trumas. Now, he writes at the end over, he quotes from Reb Chaim Telzer. He quotes from Chaim tells the Mamush, I think this Yisoid. She kosa the Yisoid chiv tashlume truma hu shiye trumas hanefreshes bim kaimoy. Kimoy shalei hoise necheles uk'il chozer lebalea oise truma shacha. That's the way I would have said it. He writes over here, I don't think there's some mechudosh, I think it's very geshmak. When you eat the truma, your job is to replace what was here before you came along. So whoever the owner was of this truma before, he gets it also. Because not the pshat you stole from him, but you have to replace that you took away to that who you took it away from. So you replace the amount of truma by giving new chulin and turning it into truma, and you give it to the bialim who you took it from.
But is a chakira in Nezek in general, meaning your job to compensate for
yes,
it, also to restore his object.
Yes, that's
it. If there's two expensive paintings in the world, and you destroy one of them. Now the value of the first painting went up.
Yeah, that's a big show.
You have to pay him back.
All right, so over here, the assumption over here is that we're... but the
Tashlum...
Yeah. Well, out of my price range. Plus, to me, it doesn't look that nice anyways, but okay. My kids do better jobs than some of the stuff they do. But maybe I should talk a salad, I don't know. But in any case, I think the chiddush over here by truma is we're trying to figure out what's the rotz and atayr over here. The Torah says you have to replace, meaning you ate truma. So the problem with truma is who are you mazik? So it's like a funny story. You the shavit. So the way he wants to say it is, it's not that you hurt anyone. The Torah wants to have this circulating in the world, something like that. What do you mean?
It's holy. You made it holy.
Right, so you took away something that was holy, right. And now Torah wants you to replace that holiness with something else.
Right. So it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash.
It belongs to the Shevet. No, it belongs to the Shevet Akahuna by Truma.
You give the coin to him, hasn't come true.
Okay, we're going to get to that at some point, yeah. So the pashtus is by giving it to him. We'll talk about it. It's hopefully I want to get to it today. So let's just do two more things, then we got to get moving. Rebbe Chanan has another shtickle in Psachim where he wants to answer the kash of the Rash. Again, the Rash had a kash on Tosfos that I have a Mishnah Baba Kama. The Mishnah Baba Kama says that if you steal and you swear and you deny it, so you got to pay a chaymish. The Mishnah says in Baba Kama that the Nignav, the guy who got stolen, can deny it, can be Meichelet. In fact, the Rash, what are you talking about? I said you can't be Meichel Kaparis. That was his kash. So Rabbi Chanan basically answers the answer that all of you are thinking, that what? Not all kaparas are created equally. Says Rabbi Chanan, Yishloim al-Dasatay, number five. The Shani Choymish, the Shvuz HaPikadon. Says Rabbi Chanan, not all kaparas are the same. Why? The Shvuz HaPikadon, Michoymish, the Truma. The fifth day you have to pay when you swear falsely versus the fifth day you have to pay when you eat truma. Why? The hasam hachivu rak machmas kapar. Because over there, the whole obligation in its root, b'yisaydam, is all just a kapar. By truma. Aval b'shvus hapikad and chiv hachimish ainu b'talod mechiv kapar. The hachiv hu mitzar atzmoi, elkish mishalam hachimish desh lo gam kapar. Rabbi Chanan wants to be mechadish that when the same thing we saw by Kaifer, when a person denies and swears falsely, the pshat is that he has to make a payment as a payment. Through that payment, he will obtain a kapara for all the wrongdoing that he did. But the payment in its root is a payment of mamonis. It's just that through this payment of mamonis, the Torah will give him a kapara.
Yeah, but it's also, that was an act of mezid as opposed to the other cases which are a shogeg. So the kapara for a shogeg has got to be different than the kapara for a mezid.
Not necessarily. Doesn't have to be. However, the Torah gives
a
person kapar.
Different?
That's the million-dollar question over here. Is this working like a kapar? So the answer is it's definitely not. Well, it depends. If it's a kapara on its in its root, then it's just like a carbon. But if it's a byproduct kapara, then it's not like a carbon. A carbon's whole purpose is to give you kapara.
Which you're doing anyway in each of these cases.
Correct.
Right. Right. Now it's a double kapara.
Right. But the difference over here is when we're looking at it from a question of can you be moichel it? So you can only be moichel something which is not a kapara by its nature. But if he gives you a kapara, then you could be meichel. That's the Rebbe Chanan's answer. This is what we saw by Kaifer, right? We said by Kaifer. Why is Kaifer eligible for Kim Levi Dramani? Because Kaifer is a kapara, but in its root, it's really a mamonis chiv. Truma, you're going to have to say, for whatever reason, that even in its basic root, is not a mamonis chiv, it's only a kapara. Okay, this we saw already. This is a yisoid we saw. Okay, let's go back to Taisus for 1 second. Because Taisus just gets more complicated. Says Taisus. We're the second line of Taisus. Number one, the second line of Taisus. V'afilu ochal trumas atzmoi. Even if a person eats his own truma, deloy gozal midi, he didn't steal anything, mishalim kapara l'atzmoi, he pays that kapara to himself, l'choymish l'koyin and l'choymish to the koyin. What do those words mean? So what do those words mean? So if you look at number six, the Mikdash David. Michael, who's the Mikdash David?
David Rappaport, the whole Torah and Brahman.
Very impressive. Okay.
Nothing. Obscure rabbis for 100.
That was very good. That was very impressive. I must say, very impressive. And David Rappaport wrote the Sefer Mikdash. If David Rappaport was a wrote a very famous Sefer, that's why I was saying today's Baranovich Day, because Reb David Rappaport was a Rosh Hashiva in by Rebbe Chanan. Reb David Rappaport wrote this classical sefer called Mikdash David. He's really an enikel from Reb Kiva Eger. So he wrote a lot about his Zayda from his mother's side about Reb Kiva Eger. So this sefer is very, very interesting. He wrote the sefer Mikdash David, and when Reb Shlomo Hyman left Baranovich, so Reb Chanan needed a magid shir. So he read the sefer, he was so impressed, so he decided to hire him without ever meeting him. The problem was when he met him in person, he realized he has two flaws. One flaw is he was a bacher, he was still single. And one flaw was he had a terrible speech impediment. So he didn't know what to do, Rabbi Chanan. He already hired him. What's he supposed to do? So he asked his brother-in-law, Reb Chaim Moshe, what to do. So Reb Chaim Moshe told him, the fact that he's single, he'll get married, don't worry, he'll find the shidduch. He said, the fact that he can't give a share, he has a speech impediment. He says, if the bachurim will strain to hear what he has to say, they'll be able to listen anyways, which would never work today in any yeshiva in the world, okay? Yeah. This is Baranovich pre-war.
No, that's because of his English. It's easier to understand.
It's true. I hear. So they said the Bochum strained. They were able to hear him. So he was Rosh Hashiva and Brennan. Moshe Rabbeinu had a terrible speech impediment.
Yeah, okay,
that's the other famous drushes around that they talk about.
Did you hear Moshe Feinstein?
I did not hear Moshe Feinstein.
Moshe Feinstein was
impossible to hear also. Yeah, his Chaim Moshe's voice, you strain your ears, you want to hear it. So he became Rosh Hashiva and Baranovich.
That's why he wrote the Sefer.
So he wrote the Sefer first. He wrote the Sefer first. It's easier, right? So he was Rosh Hashiva and Baranovich. He ended up, he didn't die by the Nazis. He was actually killed by the communists. He traveled with the yeshiva in 1941, and he was taken by the communists, and he was taken to one of the Russian labor camps, and he wouldn't eat not kosher. So he died, because he wouldn't eat not kosher, because he was machmed. He wouldn't eat anything that was a shaylov. Even on Kalim, he was machmed. Yeah, I'm not getting involved in that. I spoke about this in my shul a few weeks ago. Different situations of people who did things like that. That they did things that are questionable, that whether or not that's considered ma'abed asim ladas, whether or not that's considered committing suicide. It's on the podcast somewhere, Michael. You have to let people know about it. But in any case, I don't know. This is Rabbi Rappaport. Okay, because he was a big guy. He was Rashi Ivan Baranovich. He was Bar Bukhan. So let's see what he writes over here. Let's get down to it. So he writes in number 6. He says, "Hine Taisis Ksubis." He quotes our Taisvis. "Kasav Ba'oicha Truma Atzmai." He says, "A person eats his own Truma. The Mafrish Karen La Atzmai. He separates the Karen for himself. The Choymish Luchol Koin Shiyirtsa." So he explains our Taisis. What does it mean in our Taisis? That says that when a person eats his own Truma, which means he got the Truma from his grandmother. So it says over here, his grandfather. So what does he do? So it says if he eats that Truma, again, he's still not allowed to eat it. Yeah, let's not make a mistake. Just because he's the Bailam on the Truma doesn't mean he's allowed to eat it. So he's still...
Exactly.
He could sell it, but he can't eat it or consume it in any way because that's an Aveir. So what does he do? So if he accidentally eats that Truma that belongs to him... So Taisus told us, what do you do? So Taisus says, Oichal Trumas Atzmoy, the Loi Gazal Midi, he didn't steal anything. So he pays the Kapara to himself and the Choy Mishal Koy. What does that mean? So Reb David Rappaport explains, it means that what? The Mafrish Keren La'atzmoy, the Choy Mishal L'chol Koy in Shiit. Mashikosav, he says, Hainu the Choy Mish Tzorech Lidim Matnas Chinam. The Choy Mish he has to give as a gift. He has to give away to any coin. Ve'ena rasha likach dom min ha-shevet. He can't take money for it. Meaning when it comes to the choymish, he has to just give it away to any coin that walks down the street.
That Karen, he can't do either.
Oh, what about the Karen? Yeah. So he says, the e rasha likach dom, because if he'd be allowed to take money for that transaction, ma bein Karen l'choymish, what would be the difference between the Karen and the choymish? The af ha-Karen, the mafers la'atzme, because when it comes to the Karen, gam kein akorach moicher l'keihanem b'dmei truma. That he's allowed to sell. So what he does about the Karen, says Taisvis, he takes the Karen, he separates it, and he sells it to a Kohen, and the Chaimish he has to give away for free. That's the way he learns Taisvis.
Again, has that Karen become Truma?
By being by giving...
Or he was Truma.
No, he has to give new, right? This is the new payment that he's giving. So that, I guess, through the Nesina L'Kohen, that becomes...
No, he's giving it to himself.
No, he's not giving it to himself. He's giving it to another Kohen and getting money for it. He's giving
it.
He's mafresh it, and then it's now he takes his chulin. He's mafresh X amount, and then he says, "What am I going to do with this X amount?" So he gives it to a coin. He gives it to another coin, and he makes money off of it. He pays for it. So the coin gives him money. Somehow through being mafresh it and not seeing the coin, it becomes the truma.
Like
what about the chaimish?
Like
we do with the carry, like he would have done from the creek, right? Now what does he do with the chaimish? The chaimish, what he does is says with the rapport that he has to give away for free. That he's not allowed to make any money off of. He has to give away just straight up to the kite.
So let's say he had a barn full of truma.
Pre-existing truma?
Yeah.
Can't use any of that.
But you could either feed it to your animals.
I don't know. I don't know if you could give it to his animals.
So what kind of hanok could you get?
He'd have to sell it to a kohen.
You could sell it to a kohen.
Sell it to a kohen to make the profit. Yeah, that's what he's saying. So you sell it to a kohen and then you can use you make money off of it.
This is the already existing truma.
Right. That, so now what does he do?
So the same thing as you take
right.
Pull
so when it comes to the Karen, so that says Reb David Rappaport, you're allowed to use that money and make a profit. But the choymish, that you just have to give away. So what was Taisus' Raya? Taisus' Raya is that case, if it's all about stealing, who did I steal from? Why did I steal from anyone? So why do I have to do all this? Teretz is because it's about kapar. That's Taisus' Raya. But he points out from a Rambam. He says, "Achar Rambam kasav a peragud halacha chav beis benafalot truma me'avi imay. If a person gets truma from his grandfather, his mother's father, va'ochla and he eats it, the mishalim keren v'choymish l'koyin. He pays the keren v'choymish l'koyin chaver, his friend, va'achav enasal hem dom." The Rambam says it differently than Taisus. The Rambam says that if you eat by mistake that truma that was supposed to be X marked for sell and not to eat, so you ate that by mistake, so then you give the keren v'choymish to a chaver, a friend of yours, and he will pay you back for it. Both keren v'choymish. That's what the Rambam writes. So says Reb David Rappaport, "Hainu the af ba'ara choymish rashai lital domim." Even the choymish you can make a profit off of. According to the Rambam, when a zari eats truma b'shogeg and he wants to pay back, so if he has truma that belonged to him, again his own truma, so he gives the keren v'choymish to a kohen and he makes a profit on both the keren and the choymish. So says Reb David Rappaport, why did the Rambam say it that way? Not like Taisus, who says the Chaimish, you got to give away for free.
What kind of kapara is it?
Right. Exactly. So he explains, V'nire, the Taisus of HaRambam pligi b'zeh pligi. This is the point of Macholik is between the Taisus and the Rambam. Why? That Taisus is leka din miyuchad ba'ichal trumas atzmi. Taisus holds there's no special rule when you eat your own truma. Rakiv and the Karen learned the Eichel Truma. This is the halacha when a person eats Truma. Mishal and Karen Labailim. You got to give the Karen to the owner. The Chaimesh, the Chol Kain Sheirtsa. And the Chaimesh you can give to any kind you want. So how does that play out when you're the Bailim? Im Kain, but Eichel Truma's Atzmoy. So when you eat your own Truma, HaKaren Misham LaAtzmoy. So the Karen goes to you, Shehu HaBailim, Vav Shehu Zar. Meaning, says Reb David Rappaport, you get your own, you get to make a profit of it. Because it was yours that was taken. Aval achoymish, kiven the cholaku medin keren. No, choymish is a different lamdas. The ene misham lebayim. Choymish doesn't go to the owners. Ela misham lechol koin sheyitz. Choymish goes to any coin you want. So hachanami ba'oichel trumas atzmai. Same thing when you eat your own truma. Mishalom lekoin v'loy laatzmai. Shari ene koin. Vein achoymish shayach lebayim ela lekoin. So Tosis we understand very well. Tosis understands when you eat truma b'shoyge, you got to pay back the truma to the original owner and an additional to the shevet akohun.
So that's the case where you were in a Cohen's house and ate his truma, not that you set it aside.
Right. So a typical,
exactly.
So a typical case, you go into the Cohen's house, eat his truma. So I got to give him back the bailim what I took, and then I got to give chaimish to the shevet. So what happens when I'm the bailim?
Awesome.
So I give it to myself. Now how do I give it to myself? I can't give it to myself because I'm not allowed to eat. So I sell it to a Cohen and make a profit. That's all fine. But the chaimish, says David Rappaport, the chaimish, that's got to go. I'm not a kohen. I can't take the chaimish. So I got to give it. I can't make a profit off the chaimish. I got to give it to the kahuna and wash my hands clean. So what does the Rambam hold? Aval harambam sriulei do'oichal trumas atzmoi din achir legamri. No. The Rambam held there's a whole new set of rules when you eat your own truma. Taisus assume eating your own truma and eating your friend's truma and eating the kohen's truma is all the same. Says the Rambam, no. When you eat trumas atzmoi din achir legamri, do'loi shayach be tashlumin klal. There's no concept of tashlumin. V'leka rak hafrosha v'nesino lekohen. The whole process is be mafresh and give to a kohen. So in order this new food should get kedusha, and you can make a profit. The Rambam has no problem with you making a profit. The Rambam says that the Torah wants you to take off and give to the shevet. So I did that. Where did it say I can't turn a profit? So
here, you make a profit.
Sounds weird. It seems strange.
Right,
but it's still weird. That's the, you know. But that's how he wants to explain the machlokes over here.
Hey, don't forget, it's not really a profit. It's really mitigating the loss.
Correct. Correct.
I
agree.
And so it's mitigating a
correct
loss.
Meaning he doesn't have to take a loss by giving away
right.
Free stuff.
So there's more
correct.
Stuff the same.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
So in a normal case, right,
yeah.
You have Yisrael, he harvests, and he says, okay, I got to give so much in truma. So I'm going to separate this, right? And then he has to give it away to a Kohen.
Correct.
He can't sell it.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
there is such a thing called makire kohuna. Makire kohuna means I have friends that are kohanim friends. And we do business together. You know, I'll give him my truma, then you know he'll do my roof for me later. You know, things like that. It's such a concept called makiri kohuna.
Okay, but generally speaking, you're giving.
Correct. It's a matana. You can't make a profit off of it.
The profit only comes in the case where
it's my truma.
You didn't have to create truma.
I already owned. Right.
You owned it.
I owned. That's right. That's correct.
And then you can sell.
Correct. Because then I'm not replacing it and the
so
ownership.
That may be the reason.
Because it's not an ownership issue because I already own it. It's just an issue of replacing the truma that was out of.
Anyway, you could have sold it originally.
That's correct. But since I ate truma, I consumed truma, so now I got to replace the truma back into the womb. Okay. Yes, very much. We're going to get to that. No. That doesn't make the difference. That should be the same. Okay, we got to finish up this Tosfos, everybody. So let's go back to the first page. I want to finish up this Tosfos as best as we can. Zog Tosfos, Vim Toimer. Let's go to Vim Toimer. We're in number one, Vim Toimer. This we did not see last week. Vim Toimer, Frek Tosfos. V'hod de Tanan, Zda Mishnah and Yevamis. V'perek Noisim. We're in number one, the third line from the bottom. So Tosfos has a kasha from a Mishnah in Yevamis in the 11th perek. The Mishnah says, Kahenes shenis arev v'loda b'vlad shev chaso. Let's say you have a weird case where you have a Kahenes, a female Kohen, married to a Kohen, and her baby, who's now going to be allowed to eat truma, gets mixed up with the vlad of a shivcha. Let's say, for example, you have a woman who's married to a kohen, and then you have a shivcha who works for a kohen, and she's allowed to eat truma also. Also, Evid's allowed to eat truma. And these two babies, we don't know who the parents are. This is before you have, you know, DNA testing. You don't know who's the baby of the shivcha and who's the baby of the kohen. Now, the truth is, either way, they're allowed to eat truma because a baby of a kohen is allowed to eat truma, and a baby of a shivcha is allowed to eat truma. Exactly. That was when they get freed. So the Mishnah says over there in Yevamis, the shichru zezeh, they get freed. So now you don't know which one anymore is the shivcha, which one's the kohen's child. The chayin, let's say another case. Safik mein tisha l'rishin. Let's say you have a lady that was married to a man, and the man died. She got remarried right away, which you're not supposed to, like the Mishnah Yevamis tells us. And now we don't know, is her first husband was a kohen, or vice versa, and her second husband was not. Now the baby's born. You don't know if the baby was born from the first husband, or the baby was born from the second husband. We don't know. Again, all before there's DNA testing. The Amrinan, the Mishnah says, the halach is all these cases, which we'll call suffik, if they eat truma, they don't have to pay keren v'chaymish. That's the Mishnah. Because hamoitze mechavel of a raya. Maybe I am a kohen. Maybe my father was the kohen and not the other husband. So a moitz mechav el raya proved to me that I have to pay the karen b'chaimish. That's what the Mishnah says.
The first case is not a suffix.
No, because each one claims that I'm the real one.
Doesn't matter. Each one is allowed to.
Not after the meshacher, they're free. You're no longer an evit. Yeah. So if you're no longer an evit, you don't have a right to eat truma anymore. You only eat al kinyan kasim.
It's only a suffix to rabbanim.
No, this
is most mechavel raya.
No, you say most mechavel.
No.
Amoitz mechavel raya. You say by all mamonis obligations. You come over to me and you say you owe me $50. I say go jump in the lake. Prove it to me. Amoitz mechavel raya. You have to prove it to me. So here also, you coming to the kohen and you coming to this kid and saying you ate chuma. You owe it to the shevet kohen. The guy says, what are you talking about? I don't owe chuma. I'm a kohen.
But we have a suffix for that. We have the suffix whether or not they're even.
Those are two different cases. They're two different cases. One case is your suffix if you were the Bas Shivcha, you were the Bas Kayin. And the other suffix was, were you born to the first father? It's two different cases. And both cases, the common denominator is that you're a suffix, Kayin, suffix, not Kayin. So if you went and ate Shuma, so the Mishnah says you don't have to pay Karen L'Chaymish because prove to me I'm not a Kayin. That's the Mishnah in Yevamos.
That's for the other suffix.
What other suffix? That's the suffix. That's it. The whole suffix is whether I have to pay. It's a suffix if I'm a kohen or not a kohen. So on the tzad that I'm a kohen, I did nothing wrong. On the tzad that I'm not a kohen, I owe Karen V'chaymish. The problem is you can't make me pay Karen V'chaymish because you can't prove that I did anything wrong. Because maybe I'm taka kohen. So what does that have to do with our sugya? Frektaisvis, v'amai, kivin de kapara hu lechayvim esuffik. Frektais, I don't get it. You've been telling me for the last 2 weeks that Karen V'chaymish of Truma is a kapara. So why don't you say suffix kapara lechumra? This kid needs a kapara. On the tzad that he did something wrong, why don't we say that he should have to bring the Karen V'chaymish, not al silchus mamanis, al silchus kapara. In order that he should be able to come to Shemayim with a clean slate, he should have to give the Karen V'chaymish. So if Karen V'chaymish is a regular mamanis obligation, so then I understand the Mishnah. But if there's another element over here, an element of kapara, why don't we make him pay al suffik kapara? That's Taisus's kasha.
Where does that concept come?
I would assume the assumption is that you want to give a person an opportunity to clean the slate before he, you know, meets his creator.
You're talking about the Suffolk case.
The Suffolk case, yeah. So why do we... That's exactly what Tyson is asking. That we should not look at Moitz Mechavel of Rai over here, because Moitz Mechavel of Rai is when it's a strictly Mominus question. Here it's not just Mominus. Here there's a kapar attached to it. Or even more so, kapara on top of it, and the moment it's a secondary.
By the way, you're not
going to be mavar anything.
The suffix still exists.
The suffix is going to exist till the end. The question is that if I'm being mafresh this, I cover all bases. Because then on the tzad that I'm talking out of kain, I cleared my conscience.
You don't need a kapara if it's a suffix.
But that's goof what a suffix is, right? You want to suggest there's no need here for suffix? Well, that's...
Yeah, the suffix,
that true?
You don't need a kapara.
On a suffik deraisa. Suffik deraisa, we generally go l'chumra. So here's suffik kapara, you would assume to go l'chumra and make him pay. So the whole Mishnah say that what? You can't make the guy pay.
So if we say suffik deraisa l'chumra, this is a suffik deraisa, why are we even saying that he can eat it? Why is
Moitzmechavavarai overrides when it's an area of mominus? No, it's a mominus question, Moitzmechavavarai comes in. So what Tarsus is really asking.
100%.
When it mixes with that, that's always the problem when it mixes with right. That's a hetavis.
But mominus rules.
Usually, right? Usually we follow Moitzmechavavarai, even though there are Isurim involved.
Right.
So Tarsus' kasha is here, it's kapara. It's kapara.
But in a mouthful of kapara, because the coin doesn't really necessarily. Shouldn't be getting it.
Right. Oh, so that's what Taisa is going to answer. So look at Taisa's teretz. The Eishloima, if you thought things were complicated, they only get more complicated. The Eishloima, devadei tzrichin lahafrish. Says Taisa avada. You misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't mean if this kid eats the truma, al-b'shaygeg, or even al-shaygeg, right, I guess, he doesn't have to pay anything. It means he has to go to his storage house, take chulin, be mafreshit, and then leave it. Avada has to be mafreshit. Says Tais, of course he has to be mafreshit. Avalei nois in the coin. But he then doesn't have to give it to any coin. Because Hamas Mechavarai kicks in. So Tais was just split things into a very, very thin line over here. There's something called mafra hafrasha, and there's something called nesina. You have to be mafreshit this al silchas kapara. The kapara comes when you're mafreshit. The nesina is a momentous question.
This
is Karen V'chaimish.
What do you do with it?
So
you need a kapara because you took from the person you took truma out of the world.
You need a kapara because you took truma when you weren't allowed to eat it, or suffik you were allowed to eat it.
Just you took.
Right. You ate truma. So zok taisis v'yeshom mitzvah avadi you have to be mafresh. Avlei noisim l'koin, but you don't give it to the coin. So what do? You put it on the table, and that's it. You're done, finished, and no one can come and take it. You're going to have to say lefizeh. So where's the kapara in this whole process? It's in the hafrasha. Why? Because if not, Taisus didn't answer his question. Taisus is bothered with Akasha. Why doesn't this kid need a kapara? So Taisus says he gets a kapara. When he's mafresh it, that will be the kapara. But isn't the kapara when he gives it to the kohen? Says Taisus, no. The kapara is when he's mafresh.
So like when you're owning yourself, the kapara is when you're
mafresh. Exactly. That's right. That's correct. The kapara comes when you mechalik, and you divide this part of your chulin and give it a shame truma. Very.
It sounds like more of a kanas than a kapara.
Right.
In other words, you have to have a
look. Maybe that's where the kapara comes from. Could be. So Zog Taisis, Vahode and a kohen yochel limchol. So what does it mean that the kohen can't be moichel? Hainu lin yishol yet tzarech lahafrish. That means the kohen can't tell you, don't bother be mafrish, it's okay. Avol acha shehefrish. But after you go through the process, yochel limchol loy shiyesh loy he can be moichel.
What's the status of this?
So that would be truma. You'd have to probably sell it to a kohen and make the money.
So it is considered truma.
Yeah. Chaloy shema frosha.
You don't have the kabbalah to heal his kabbalah. Kabbalah is irrelevant.
That's right. So according to this Tosfos, at the end of this Tosfos, if your head's not spinning yet, according to Tosfos, what comes out? That when the kohen is not allowed to be moichel, doesn't mean it means the kohen can't tell you, don't bother separating. But once you go through the process of separating, the kohen could say, now, okay, now it's yours. Now, what's the obvious kasha? The obvious kasha over here, which I really don't want to get into, because, but we have to ask it, is the nesivus is kasha? Frek the nesivus, I don't get it. Frek the nesivus, 1 second. If this is all true, then our whole tesis makes absolutely no sense. Again, what was the cheshbon in tesis? The cheshbon in tesis was that the kohen of Adah could be meichel. The kohen could be meichel once you reach the point where you're mafreshit. After your mafreshit, you go through the hafrasha process, you get your kapara, good, and now it turns into strictly mamanis, and once it turns into strictly mamanis, then the kohen can be moichel.
You didn't replenish, though.
No, you mafresh the kohen. What? The right to get that money, right?
But he could just take it.
No, the kohen cannot. The kohen has rights to this money, right? Your mafreshit.
You still own it, it's just...
Right, your mafreshit, the kohen says, very nice, I'm happy that you mafreshit, now you keep it. As opposed to saying, I'm going to take it from mine because I'm a kohen. Yeah, that's the Karen and the Chumash.
How did that replenish the...
Well, again, according to Taisus, the whole kapara is not about giving it out. It's about being mafresh. So, Frekt and Nesivus, 1 second. If this is all true, what was our cheshbon in Taisus? We can't say, Kim Levid Ram Minei Bai Zor Shalcha Chumah B'Shaigeh, because we don't say, Kim Levid Ram Minei on a kapara. Right? Everyone remember that? So, Frekt and Nesivus, I don't get the problem. Let him be mafresh it. He gets his kapara. And the Kim Levid Ramene will be on whether or not he has to give it to the kohen afterwards.
No, but he still has to take a financial hit.
Where?
He's being mocked for something.
The kohen can be Michael Tyson just told us.
Yeah. Right, but what is the kohen doing?
Nothing. That means Yisrael will then sell it and make money off of it.
How do you know he's allowed to sell it?
I'm saying, what else is he supposed to do with it?
That's a letter rot.
No, I don't. Let's see. So Frank the Nesiv is number 7.
Out the Hefsid, how's there a kapara?
Taisvis is saying the kapara comes by being mafreshit, by giving this shame truma. That's
because you're losing.
No, I would say no, because you're bringing more truma into the world. You're replacing that truma that was consumed. You're bringing more truma into the world.
You are losing. You're losing your kapara.
You can sell it. That's right. That's what we said.
But even if you sell it, below market value.
It's going to have to be below market value because there's not much need. Demand is very low. So let's see the nesivus. Zok the nesivus. V'yeshloimak. He quotes out Taisvis. He says, L'chaycha kasha, Taisus is a pella. Kivan the ikka kapara tluy v'afrasha. What did Taisus tell us? Taisus told us, there's no kim nevi diram mine when something is a kapara. And we're in hafrasha's truma is the kapara? By the hafrasha. Fine. So, for the nesivus, imkain, kasha le'el, gabi kim nevi diram mine. So, go back to our Taisus. Shekatsu Taisus, the aim p'tor b'tashlome truma, shem tashlome truma, abim kapara. Why is there no kim le'el by truma? Even though the guy's going to get misa, he still has to pay to the kohen. Because Taisus told us, I'm sorry, anything that's a kapara, you can't say, maybe the ramen. Frekt and Nesivus, I don't get it. Ulefian al kosher, the holy yitzrach rak lafishay. Why can't you tell the guy, just be mafreshit, that gives you the kapara. Once you have the kapara, you're done, you're finished, kapara's over, now we move on to the next stage. Then, v'loy l'sham l'kohen, you don't have to give anything to the kohen. V'rachmona chai v'af l'sham l'kohen, but the Torah said you have to give to the kohen. D'chsev v'nasan l'kohen, v'gila rachmona, kim nevi d'ramene, ein apoytim et ashlum l'kohen, she'enim mishum kapar. So Frank the Nativus, I don't understand. If Taizvus is right, that the kapara comes after the hafrasha, so just be mafreshit, now the kapara is finished, done, now we can move on to regular mamanis. In regular mamanis, we do say kim nevi d'ramene. So why does the Mishnah say in Psachim, that Zor Sha'achot Shumah B'Shoigeg has to pay everything to the kohen? He shouldn't have to pay anything to the kohen. He should be mafresh it. And then it'll be Patras Kim Levit Ram Mineh. Just like Taisus told us that once you mafresh it, you obtain kapara. That's the Nesivus is kash. So the Nesivus comes up with I'm getting a lot of blank stares over here. Let's try this again.
Is it an option, or you can go either way?
What do you mean?
I'm saying is it a chiyuv that you have to be mafish that?
Yes, Taisvis is saying that in order to get kapor, you have to be mafish something.
As opposed to
the kohen telling you, don't be mafish, and it's kilo you were mafish. That doesn't work. You have to do an act of separating, but you don't have to give an act. You don't have to give it to the kohen.
I'm saying, but you could give.
Yeah, but that doesn't. Right. But if the coin decides to be Michael, he can then be Michael after it was already separated.
And you can sell it.
Then you presumably can sell it to another coin. But the Nesivus is Kasha is I don't get it. If this is an option in that Gemara and Yevamis, so let's plug it back into our Gemara. The Gemara said the guy who eats Truma B'Shoyeg, Zorah Shochah Truma B'Shoyeg, no Kim Levdram, he's got to pay carrying the Chaymish to the coin. Why? Let him be Mafreshit. He'll get his Kapara. Good. So there's no Kim Levdram Kapara. But now the mominess that he has to the coin is strictly mominess, to the extent that the coin can be moichlet, to the extent that it's subjected to Kimle Duramine, and then let Kimle kick in then, and then it'll be Potter.
And what would Kimle do for him?
Potter him from giving it to the coin.
But he doesn't have to.
No, he does. No. Again, start again. Taisus is saying that if a person eats Truma, B'shoigin, and he owes now a Keren V'choymish to the Kohanim. So the Halacha is, says Taisus, all he needs to do is be Mafish. If the coin then decides to be Moichel, the coin has that right. That's what Tosis told us. And if the coin decides not to, then the coin takes it. 100%.
That rushes the kapara. And now Mominos
kicks in. So therefore says Tosis back to his kasha. What was Tosis's kasha? If you have a suffix, you're not sure if the person needs a kapara. So Tosis says, of course he has to be mafish to truma, because that's what gives him the kapara. Now after he's mafish to truma, then the coin can say, you know, it's okay. You know, I'm going to be moichli. Or then Mominos kicks in and says, I'm going to be mechaveh raya. But all you got to do is do the part that's the kapara, which is the separating part.
But doesn't Kimlay basically then kick in?
That's the Nesivus discussion.
Right,
I'm talking about for the Gemara in Yevamis, you need a Matzim Mechaveh Alva Raya. For the case in the Mishnah where you have a suffer.
But here, basically, Kimlay.
Let's start again. Fractin the Nesivus, what should happen is like this. The moment you eat Truma B'Shoigig, so you're Chayiv Misa, a person's Chayiv Misa Dishamai. Mishnah says you got to pay to the Kohen still, even though you're going to get Misa.
Karen
B'Chaimish. Our kasha was, what happened to Kimle? So Taisu says, no, Kimle.
You shouldn't have to pay the Chomish.
Let's say you shouldn't have to pay. Right, you should be exempt because of Kimle of Duramin. Taisu says, no, it's a kapara, no Kimle and kapara. But the way Taisu just explained where the kapara is, where is the kapara?
Russia.
It's not, it's the Hafrasha. So all you should have to do is put the stuff on the table, say, Kohen, here it is, I'm mafreshit. Now what happens after you mafreshit? You get your kapara. Check. Good. Now what's left? Strictly mominous. To the extent that even if the coin wants to be moichlet, it can be moichlet. That means it's now just viewed as mominous. So if it's just mominous, so what should happen now? Kim Levin Ramani should kick in and tell me that what? I'm potter.
Potter from what?
From paying that to the coin.
Even if the coin is
moichlet. Even if the coin is not moichlet.
Maybe you can't say Kim Levin Ramani like that.
Why?
Because you can't split it up like that. Once is not a Kim Levin in it.
Good. So the Nesivus gives a similar teretz. Okay, let's get the kasha down first. Again. It says by our Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah of Psachim, if a person eats Truma B'Shoigig, even though he's going to get Misa, he still has to pay Karen B'Chemish. Taisus wants to know why, what happened to Kimle. So Taisus says, there's no Kimle on Kapara. Fine. So how did we learn that? We learned that that means that when you give the Karen B'Chemish to the Kohen's hands, that's a Kapara, and you can't give up that right to get a Kapara, so you can't do Kimle. But Taisus just proved to us that that's not the way it works. The Kapara is not obtained when you give the money to the Kohen. The Kapara is obtained when you separate it on the table. Finish. That's the end of the story. Then what happens? So the Kohen then has rights to take the money. Either he takes it, or he's Meichelet, or whatever he wants to do, but that now becomes a mominous obligation. So if that's true, so Frak the Nesivus, what should happen? The moment you're Mafreshit, so regular Hilchos Mominous kicks in, what happens in Hilchos Mominous? There's such a thing called Kim Levi Duramine. So therefore, why does the Mishnah say Imsalchem? That you have to pay, you should be exempt now because of Kimle.
And you should be exempt from what?
Karen B'Chemish. You are Mafreshit, actively paying it to the Kohen. Once?
Simultaneous, so you don't the circle doesn't happen until you start.
Right, so you be mafreshit, put it on the table.
You can't, but you already go. But it's not. If you do the circle, you don't get all the way around to the back.
Why not? You can't stop it in between. You can't be mafresh, stop, and then talk about the nesina.
Once I'm mafresh, I can't mafresh it.
Oh, so that's what the nesivus answers. The nesivus comes up with a gevaldik chiddush. The nesivus says that once you mafresh it, it becomes truma. Once it's truma, it's no longer a shail of kim lebedirat mine. It's a shaila in what do you do with Truma? Truma has a destination. Truma needs to go to a kohen. You can't just sit on the table. You have a mitzvah
Truma,
now.
There's another option.
What?
You can sell it.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
To a kohen.
One second. Zokti Nesivus, once you're mafresh Truma and you give it a shame Truma, now you have a mitzvah. He called it a mitzvah to distribute it. It can't just be.
Right. That's by normal truma.
He says that's. He's medama that to this. Right. Let's see inside. Zokta Nesivus. Okay. I thought we were going to get through more today. Okay. Zokta Nesivus. The nearly. Zokta Nesivus. The hard because of Rachmana the Nasan Lekoyin. Ain't a Mishum Tashlum and Shal Gezel HaKoyin. We think that when you're mafresh it, and then you give it to the kohen, so that payment is like a payment for gzeila. No, says the Nesivus. Raku mitzvah saseh, dekeshe hifrish nas in truma. The rules are, once you're mafresh chulin, that magically becomes truma, and therefore what? Kemoyin nesinas truma mafresh is create carry. Shaloi, just like when you're mafresh from your own grain. You're mafresh it, and magically becomes truma. Now you have a mitzvah deraisa to give it to a kohen. V'choshu mitzvah saseh ein kim levid ramenei poiter. Now, if it's a mitzvah, there's no Ptor Kim Leib Dramin anymore.
Even with the Kohen being Marchal, there's no Marchal.
It seems like the Kohen shouldn't be able to be
Marchal. Well, unless Mechila is Kilo is Kabalti.
What does that mean exactly?
It's as if you got it.
It's like
this is not Gzeila.
If I kill someone while I'm stealing them, I have a mitzvah saseh to return it. But you say Kim
Leib. Oh, so we don't have to talk about that. Why isn't every Tashlum in a mitzvah saseh? Okay? That's what I'm trying not to get involved in.
From a mitzvah perspective, can you separate the Afrasha from the Nesina? Isn't there all one mitzvah?
Right. That's the kasha I think they have on the Nesivus. The Nesivus wants to say that the mitzvah is the hafrasha. Now, once you're mafresh it, now becomes truma. Now you have. Now you're obligated to give it away. Now you can't be exempt anymore. You're obligated to give this money away.
Then
the Chayyim wouldn't be able to moichel, even though Taisa says he could be moichel.
Wait, is that two separate mitzvahs?
I don't know if it's two separate mitzvahs.
And then an obligation?
No, I don't know that hafrasha is a mitzvah. Hafrasha, let's say, for example, hafrasha over here you have to do because you have to get a kapara. Now, when you're mafresh it and you got your kapara, now you turn this dough, this bread, into truma. Once it's truma, it needs to go.
And
now
you don't say kibble when it's just to do a kapara.
We don't know. Here, the point is you don't say kibble when it's a mitzvah. Here, you have a mitzvah to give this to a kohen.
When you do the kapara to be
mafresh. Right. So to tell you not to do the hafrasha.
Why can't you be exempt from the kapara, I'll kibble?
Because Tyson says whenever something.
Right.
Okay, but you see, so if we're not thoroughly confused. Okay, next week, Mr. Shema. Next week, I want to go Vaiter. No, next week, I really want to go Vaiter. I want to.